Welcome back, and thank you very much for joining me. My name is Swartik Mayanja, and this is the Mayanja Accredited News Network. We are on another episode of my Everyday Hero interview series, where I interview someone in your life or someone in my life that makes us smile but does not get the credit they deserve. Today, I am interviewing a very important person. In fact, he's not just going to make you smile. He's in the work that will make your grandkids and their grandkids smile. I am interviewing Ben Hellerstein, the state director?
Yep, that's
the
right.
The state director of Environment Massachusetts.
There is no justice when so few have so much and so many have so little.
Ben, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate you taking your time out of the day for this. So before we begin and jump into this environmental, you know, shebang you got going on here, who are you, and then why did you decide environment?
Yeah, I grew up outside of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The community I lived in was, it was the suburbs, right? So it was like, you know, house after house after house, and everybody had their kind of perfectly, manicured green lawn.
It looked pretty.
Exactly. Very nice community. But it wasn't really, I didn't really have that much experience with nature, you know?
Ditto.
Yeah. So my junior year of high school, I had the opportunity to spend some time up in Vermont. So I did this semester program that was on a farm in Vermont. And, you know, I was like a total, you know, I'd never lived on a farm before.
Yes.
I never, you know, planted
intense.
A vegetable or anything. but, you know, I had the opportunity to live there for a few months. And,
uh-huh.
You know, it was just absolutely, you know, blown away with how beautiful it was. And I remember my first or second night that I was up there, you know, I went outside after dark and you could see for miles in every direction just by the light of the moon.
Yeah.
And I'd always
That's amazing.
Right. I'd always assumed, you know, like the town I grew up in was the place where the sky was glowing orange at night from all the streetlights. So I just always assumed like, oh, moonlight is just a poetic expression, right? But it's a sexual thing.
I love that.
So, so from that, you know, I was just totally, in love with nature and the woods. And, you know, I wanted to do everything I could to help to, you know, protect these places and protect our natural heritage for the next generation. So, so that's basically what's led me to do the kind of work I do today.
It's impressive. I like when you mentioned that the moonlight thing, because I like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know,
mm-hmm.
Neil?
Yeah.
So he's always talking about the, you know, the universes and stuff. And I live like a town away from Boston. I grew up from a town away from Boston, and I can't ever see the night sky with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the worst. It's the worst. But
right.
I definitely understand that. Explain to us, what is Environment Massachusetts and what do you guys do?
So we are a statewide citizen-funded environmental advocacy organization. So our mission is to protect clean air, clean water, and open space. Basically what that means is that we stand up for the core environmental values that so many of us share,
mm-hmm.
and we do what it takes to win. So, you know, we get out there and we knock on doors, we talk to people face to face about the environmental issues that they're facing in their lives. You know, we build grassroots support through petition signatures, through phone calls to elected officials. We work to generate attention around these issues in the media. We build coalitions, we reorganize events, you know, basically everything that we can do to create a political environment where our elected officials are going to do better things for the
yes.
environment. You know, we think that, you know, the problems are pretty clear.
Of
and
very.
Yeah, but the solutions are kind of obvious too, right? Like we should not be dumping toxic chemicals in our water.
Nope.
We should not be, you know, burning these fossil fuels that are changing our climate.
Yeah.
But, you know, in many cases, the obstacles are these powerful industries and special interests that in a lot of ways are kind of stuck in this old way of thinking, right? Where, you know, our prosperity and our jobs for so long have been tied into, you know, how much can you extract from the earth, right?
Yes.
And actually what we're trying to say is, well, you know, in this new world we live in where we have, you know,
no.
such amazing technology,
exactly.
clean energy, you know, it's just not necessary to
mess
live
up
that way
the
anymore.
Planet that we live on. You guys, look at Ben. He looks good. He nice button shirt, and I know he said that they go knocking on doors. And Ben is not, absolutely not, the outside of my office and make big calls to big important people. The way I know Ben is when I worked at Environment Massachusetts office in Newton, and we both, he was the, what was it called, the head
The canvas director.
He was the canvas director, and we literally, our job was to canvas. So we went knocking on doors. He's not just all talking, looks good and tells everyone else to go knocking on doors. He does it from the bottom all the way up. It's actually kind of amazing. So how long have you been with Environment Massachusetts? It's called Environment Massachusetts. Is there an Environment New York? Is there Environment California?
There is, yeah. So so we're part of a national federation called Environment America.
Mm-hmm.
So there's groups in about 28 or 29 states across the country, plus we have a federal office in D.C.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I've been with the organization for about 4 years now.
4 years. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Is there an end goal? Is Environment Massachusetts strictly, is it strictly energy? Are we just talking solar and wind? Is Environment Massachusetts, let's help, you know, the... prevent extinction of animals? Is it wildfires? Is it only, or is it only energy?
Mm-hmm. Well, we work on a lot of different issues.
Okay.
So over the years, we've done a ton of work around protecting our parks and public lands.
Yes.
So everything from Boston Common to the Cape Cod National Seashore, you know, some of the places that we really treasure the most in Massachusetts. We do a lot of work around clean water.
Mm-hmm.
So that means protecting the Charles River, the Mystic River, other waterways from pollution.
What is there left to protect in the Charles?
Well, so we've made a lot of progress in cleaning up the Charles River, but there's actually many summers there are these blooms of this toxic blue-green algae, which is called cyanobacteria.
Does not sound good.
It isn't. So it makes the water look, it almost has that paint-like texture
why,
to it.
Yeah, that's why I said what I said, because it just doesn't look like there's much to...
Yeah, exactly. So, and when that happens, they have to close the river for swimming and for fishing and for boating. And so, there are many causes to that, but one of the causes is pollution that runs off of parking lots and lawns and other surfaces during rainstorms,
mm-hmm.
which then flows into the gutters and then that gets into the rivers. So one of the things we're looking at is what can we do to encourage the use of more green infrastructure, where basically they're absorbing more of the rainwater in the place where the rain falls rather than having it wash into the sewers and carry all the pollution with it.
My goodness. That's I like that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are good.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I did a little bit of research before I came to do this interview, and I found out that Massachusetts might be the first state to go 100% renewable energy. Is this true?
That's true. Yeah. So
just
last week we launched our campaign for 100% renewable energy for Massachusetts. It's 2017, right? We should not be digging up, you know, oil and gas and coal from the ground and burning it, which, as we know, is causing, you know, such major problems for our climate and for our health. And, you know, we have the alternatives, right? We have in Massachusetts, we can get more than 11 times as much electricity as the entire state uses each year just from offshore wind alone.
You're lying.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, so we've been making progress all along, right? So we've been, you know, we have 200 times as much solar in our state today as we did 10 years ago. So that's real progress. And thanks actually to a lot of policies that we've helped to adopt. But with all that, it's still not enough. And we find ourselves in this place where we have to fight for every single little incremental step of progress, right? So getting from like 2% solar to 3% solar. And our point is, you know, that's good, but it's not good enough, right?
Yes.
We need to go a lot further.
And it's ineffective.
A lot more quickly.
End goal, it's not as effective.
Right. Yeah. And we can just do so much more. And we actually, you know, we're at a point where 100% renewable energy is feasible and within reach. And, you know, we should just do everything we can to move as quickly as possible in that direction.
So let's talk about that. How are we going to get to 100%? What politician do we have to fight? What bill do we have to pass? Like, how much money do we need to raise?
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be easy.
Yes.
You know, there are certainly industries and special interests that are profiting off of the way that our energy system is currently set up.
Definitely.
You know, when we talk about 100% renewables, we're talking about really changing the entire way that our society produces and consumes energy. So it's not going to be simple.
That's intense.
Yeah. But, you know, it is possible. We know it's attainable. And, you know, and really, it's actually pretty simple in a way. So the first step is that we need to increase energy efficiency as much as we possibly can. So experts estimate that we could reduce energy use across the economy by 40 to 60% by the middle of the century.
Wow.
Yeah.
Across the country. We're not just talking about mass now. We're talking about the whole country. 40 to 60%.
Right. So they're looking at nationally, okay. Yeah, okay. We could reduce 40 to 60%. So that's the first step, is to get our energy use as low as possible. The second step is to dramatically expand the amount of solar and wind power on the grid. You know, I've already said we have huge offshore wind potential, huge solar potential. Actually, studies have been done that show that we could run our grid pretty much entirely with renewable energy, even just with the technology we have available today.
When you say things like that, I get bubbly inside. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's the idea, yes. You know, because people are, I mean, you know, after the election, a lot of folks are just very, you know, depressed and, yeah, and fearful about our future, right? And I think for good reason. But, you know, in a place like Massachusetts, there are opportunities for us to keep moving the ball forward. And the challenge in a lot of ways is that we're still kind of stuck in this place of, like, you know, like I said, trying to get from 2% solar to 3% solar,
exactly,
right? And so, you know, a lot of what we're trying to do with this campaign is redefine the conversation and say, you know, we can do so much more and we've got to do it quickly.
Sounds like a plan. Sign me up. So I just want you to tell, because I know when I was part of Environment Massachusetts, it wasn't like our job. It wasn't like us, that our little campaign office doing the work. Our job was to educate the public. So you just told us the plan. So what can each and every single one of these people watching this video do to help us make that goal, lofty, lofty goal, mm-hmm, an actual reality?
Yeah, well, I think one of the most important things is to reach out to your state representative and state senator and make sure that if they haven't already sponsored the 100% Renewable Energy Act, that they should get, definitely, their names on there as quickly as possible.
Of course.
You know, we have 53 legislators that have signed on so far, so that's more than a quarter of all of the legislators in Massachusetts. So, you know, we're making good progress, but obviously, mm-hmm, still have some more work to do.
Yeah.
Another thing is that there are a lot of opportunities in our local communities, in our cities and towns, to take major steps towards 100% renewable energy. And one of the things we're doing in the next couple of months is actually rolling out a toolkit and a set of resources that folks can use that, you know, if you wanted to go to, you know, officials in Newton or, yes, in Woburn and, yes, and get them to do more solar power or whatever the case might be, it kind of helps you, you know, pave the way to do
that. Toolkit. Exactly. Handing out toolkits. You hear this? We're all going to be set to go. So I'm sorry. So you said it's called the 100% Act? What is it?
100% Renewable Energy Act.
100% Renewable Energy Act. Just let your officials know, your representatives know, because that's the goal. So it is the goal. Do we have an end date? Do we have a time, a place? Do we have a calendar?
Yeah, well, so we want to see 100% renewables across the board in Massachusetts by 2050. So that's the end date we've set for when we would be using entirely solar and wind power to power the state. We think we can actually get the electric grid there faster. So we said by 2035 is when we want to have 100% renewable electricity. And then some other things like transportation and heating, for example, are going to take a little bit longer.
Transportation, that's going to be tough.
It will be.
That to me, just like, I don't know anything, but I'm just saying, to me personally, I think that's going to be tough because you're going to have to make people turn in their cars. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, the good news with transportation is that you know, folks tend to turn over their cars about every 10 years or so.
Yes.
So, you know, and the technology has advanced so quickly that electric vehicles are becoming more and more affordable and within reach.
Thank you, Elon Musk.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's one piece of it. Another piece is more transit opportunities, right? So the more people we can get on buses and trains, especially when they're powered by clean electricity rather than fossil fuels, that's even better. And then, you know, walking and biking, of course, the more we can have opportunities for people to get around that way as well. That's always a good thing.
That's awesome. We're going to be just wrapping this up real quick. I know you're a busy man. So if someone wants to get involved specifically with Environment Massachusetts, how can they do? Is it the best just to donate? Or should they come on and volunteer? How can they help you?
Yeah, certainly donating is great, and it helps to give us the resources we need in order to do this work. You know, we have a pretty large and well-engaged membership at Environment Massachusetts, and so folks are interested in hearing about opportunities to get involved, whether that's volunteering or coming to an event. One of the best ways to do that is by joining our email list, which you can do at our website, which is environmentmassachusetts.org.
And so do you guys still do those summer?
We do. Yeah.
And I have to say, just out there, even, you know, you're not that big environment gal or guy. I had some of the best times when I was working for Environment Massachusetts. And I was like, out of high school, it's the perfect job if you're a high school student. You just go around all day in the summertime. You wear your nice clothing. You have your nice hat. You just go knock on doors and educate people on the environment, on what's important moving forward. I absolutely loved it. I have some of my best friends I still talk to. I met through Environment Massachusetts. It's a go-go for anyone who is able. Just last few questions about environment. Agriculture. So you've been talking about energy. What are we going to do about those cows? Is that something we're looking at, or is that someone else's job?
That's a great question. I don't really have a simple answer for that. Yes. I think that...
Vegan? Vegan's not the answer?
Well, it could be. I think that, you know, one of the pieces is that, you know, we, you know, certainly are going to need to protect and restore so many of our natural landscapes that help to absorb some of the extra carbon that comes from those activities.
Yes.
But yeah, it certainly is a huge challenge.
That is definitely a huge challenge. Mm-hmm. And then last energy question. So you did mention Trump, and people are worried. And we got to stop the pipeline in North Dakota. The pipeline in North Dakota, and people saying it's going to be coming back. That's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. People fought really hard to have that not happen. Do you see moving forward in the Trump administration? I know Massachusetts, ourselves as Massachusetts, we are looking forward and we have a bright future. For the rest of the country, are you hopeful?
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to be realistic, right?
Yeah, so, that's exactly.
You know, I think that this new political era that we're in poses challenges to us that in a lot of ways are bigger than anything we've faced in recent history. You know, there's no doubt that President Trump and his appointees are gearing up for a major attack on our environmental protections and our programs to fight climate change. You know, that being said, we've seen before that even when we have leaders at the federal level that are not taking action on this issue, that we can make progress one state at a time, right? And so it starts in places like Massachusetts and California. So I'll give you an example. So back in 2001, you know, when really nobody was taking climate change all that seriously at the federal level. In Massachusetts, we passed the first ever national limits on carbon pollution from power plants.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks to a campaign that we helped to run, which basically targeted the dirtiest power plants in Massachusetts. So we won those limits. And then, you know, over time, a few other states like California followed our lead. Fast forward 12 years, President Obama announces his climate action plan. The centerpiece of that plan is national limits on the carbon pollution from power plants, right? So we see that, you know, these ideas that start in Massachusetts can make a difference nationally. And then, you know, that clean power plan that Obama announced itself was the foundation of the Paris Climate Agreement, you know, 190 plus countries getting on board.
Massachusetts, right? You've done some crazy things. That's amazing.
Exactly, yeah. So we know that what we do here can make a difference, not just in our state, but across the country and even around the whole world. And so... you know, I think we need to be realistic and honest with ourselves, but I also think that, you know, the more ambitious we can be, the better. And I think, especially in this moment, people are connecting a lot more to these, you know, it's like the bigger, the better, right? Yes. I mean, you know, we could go out there, we could say, oh, we want to expand solar from 3% to 4% now. But it's actually, talking to people at 100% is better. It just gets people more excited, more motivated. And, you know, to be honest, it's just where we need to get to. So that's our plan.
That's a great plan. Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't want to end on a bad note, but just real quick. What is your quick answer, or what do you say to people who still do not believe in climate change, man-made climate change?
Yeah, well, the science is pretty clear.
The
vast majority of experts, you know, here in the United States and around the world agree that climate change is happening and that, you know, human activity is driving it. I think that, you know, for people who still aren't convinced, I think it's just going to become harder and harder to not be convinced, right? I mean, you know, we're seeing the impacts, right? It's like, you know, how warm is it today? You know, temperature records being set all the time, you know, extreme storms that we're seeing these, you know, today that we didn't see a few years ago. You know, so I think that there's more and more evidence out there. And you know, I think we do have a critical mass of people that are acknowledging it and preparing to take action on it. And really the challenge, honestly, is mostly in you know, officials in the State House and in D.C. that are not.
I honestly believe it's like they are the majority of people who don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't seem like regular people do not. To close out, like I ask every single one of my guests, 5 years from now, or specifically now in 2035, you said 35, right? That was the year. Mm-hmm. 2035, when you guys hit 100% on, you said, electrical, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And there's a line out the door all the way down to the Boston Commons waiting to interview Ben. And I ask, Ben, can I come back and talk about our 100% milestone? Will you allow me the honor?
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Ben. Everyone, I'm going to have all the links in the description box below. Definitely sign up, donate. Environment Massachusetts, I had a blast working for them. I think they're doing real change that's going to make this country, this planet, a better place. I cannot wait. We're moving forward. Ben, I really appreciate it, and I know our grandkids.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ben, that was awesome.